Okay, Priya, so I'm just sitting here, summer, beautiful summer day, looking at all the green and the blue and the little bit white clouds and just perfect Swedish summer in July, early July. I'm just saying thank you, Krishna, thank you, Radha, thank you, Gandhara, Kagira, Gonitai, Srila Prabhupada, and so on, for all of this being here and for us starting to see what's really here. And I'm listening to Dostoevsky's The Karamazov Brothers, and there is this person there who's speaking something like that, you know, I realized we are in paradise. It's just that we need to see it. And he was just describing as he himself saw it. It's just beauty everywhere where you just want to hug and embrace everyone and just laugh and sing. Because life in the world is so beautiful, it's paradise. And that's where we come from, that's where we belong. I mean, I'm filling in the last sentence there, but yeah. And I really recommend taking walks, especially when it's fine weather in the summer. Get away from those screens and rooms in there and just be here in nature. Get out of the city and just sit there looking at the all the plants, trees that grow and all the little insects and bugs and birds, and listen to the wind. And look, there is his son, father, son, and here is Mother Earth. I would say that maybe what we modern people are missing the most is this. And we have got encased in our big city bubbles with worlds as we have created them. I mean, if we want to make this into a cartoon that we can show there, you know, we have this beautiful nature, and then we have bubbles here and there, and inside those we have cities, and they have their own atmosphere painted on the shells of the bubbles or something. So, yeah. And that's when I just say thank you, Srila Prabhupada, who gave us all this. This knowledge, which brings us to paradise, really opens the windows and the gates to the real world. So that's what it's all about, this knowledge. And it's not even about paradise being somewhere where you go after you die, or some paradise island that you fly to. But it's all about us, our consciousness. When you have paradise consciousness, then you will experience yourself to be in paradise. Oh yeah, maybe you're now walking on this world with certain problems here and there, but you are not belonging there. You are actually a little outside of that, and where you actually are, that's paradise. It's just a little waking up there, a little shift. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he points that out, that this is a dream. And it's not that Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, or the reality, is somewhere far away, that you have fallen long, long, long way down here. It's just a matter of your consciousness, when you're Krishna conscious, because that's what it's all about. Then it's like waking up from that dream. And you don't have to wait until this physical body that you happen to be in now dies. It's a consciousness thing. So, yeah. And therefore I'm saying, you know, that's why I dedicated my life to serving, much of it to serve Srila Prabhupada directly with his books, selling, translating. But still, when I'm sitting here, I'm just recommending, please read those books from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, starting maybe with Ishupanishad, or even simpler books, depending on how much a beginner you are. Just call up or write to or whatever the nearest Hare Krishna temple, and they have those books. It's their mission to provide those books and translate and continue printing and selling, which is very nice. And when you are there, go and get some prasadam. They will probably offer you something nice vegetarian to eat. It's a nice culture you will find there. Well, got a little cultish so now and then through the years when I was there, but I hope that's better now. So yeah, there are these nice things. And if you ask me what I'm doing these days, or what my life is about, or who is this guy anyway, that's all. I just want to help. In one way also, I think there's a need that even, and Srila Prabhupada, I'm talking to now to his followers here, he emphasized also that times change and we have to adapt, right, to different cultures and time and place. Yukta Vairagya. And language change, of course, when you translate, but also with time. I mean, if you read a book from the 19th century today, just the way it was written then, it would sound strange. And sometimes even the way of using metaphor, examples, this and that, are different then. But the point is to understand what is the purpose, what is actually being spoken about here. So you need to kind of decode language, anything written in any book you find, especially a little bit back in time. And I would say that's the duty of those who are the followers who maintain that knowledge tradition, not by changing the books of original writers, because then the whole thing will just, you know, become relativistic and could slide this way, that way. And I mean, I guess that's how those institutional religions came about. You know, God knows what was in the original teachings of those teachers that they claim to follow. So anyway, therefore I'm saying that there's a need also, and I'm trying to describe what I'm doing really, to take that knowledge, as much as we have understood it, first of all try to understand it, and I think that, well, it comes with age, I will say. And then just share it to our realization level of insight in language and with examples from our own lives and from, you know, in a way that the readers around here in Sweden, for instance, would enjoy and be inspired by reading it, so, or hearing it or seeing it. So that's also my understanding here of what this media thing is about. So as someone said today, talking about, you're talking about multimedia and all that, as if there is some strange alternative kind of media called multimedia. It used to be like that, but now that is the media. And what we thought was singular media in the old days, or the media, the, how to say, established media, it's more or less losing its significance. It's just serving business interests now that just pump out news that are authorized by the good leaders or whoever pays them. So, you know, that's where things are today. So this alternative media, which happens to be free for us to use, is quickly becoming, or it has become already, the media. And the interesting thing with it is that, well, if you want to call it multimedia, but it's the media where books and radio and magazines and all those old media that, and again, were there when we grew up. Me, I'm 70 now, which we may still think are the real media. The others are something strange called multimedia, but they are now just branches of media with a capital M, with a huge trunk going down in history of media becoming more and more and more sophisticated and powerful. So that's the media, and I'm talking about learning to use that for continuing spreading this knowledge and for also assisting people in how to understand these books, or understand what Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada wrote about in his books. Explain if there are things that sound strange, and you know. And that's how he wanted it. He said that, I want my disciples to write books and explain in their own language. So yeah, here I'm sitting, but now I have a little summer vacation. Hare Krishna.